Right, well, it's very nice to be with you for this workshop. The fact I'm here is almost coincidental because I just exchanged emails with Tim Brooks about some of his great script carvings, and I happened to spot on his blog that he was going to a Cambridge conference. So I said, is that Cambridge, UK or Cambridge, Massachusetts? And I found out about it, and so here I am. So thanks very much for the invite. I work for SIL International, which you already heard quite a bit about. It has about 5,000 staff who serve language communities all around the world, doing research, translation, training, and literacy work. And I joined SIL about 5 years ago as a programmer. My background's in commercial programming, principally to work on doing programming for the ScriptSource website, which is what I'm talking about today. And the website went public in June of last year, so it's still relatively recent. It's dedicated to providing and sharing information about scripts, characters, and languages and the relationships between them. So as well as giving details about a script, it'll answer questions such as what languages can be used with this script, what's the inventory of characters, that kind of thing. It's designed to be contributory, so people with information about a particular script or a language can add that to the site. And we're hoping that over time it'll become a bit like Wikipedia, just get bigger and bigger with a wider and wider variety of information on it. It came out of the fact that I work for the Non-Roman Script Initiative team, part of SIL, and we deal with issues to do with using non-Roman and complex scripts on computers. And what we found was that lots of questions were being asked by people out in the field, and there was no single place where people could go for script information, and some information particularly about writing systems, in other words, particular languages written with particular scripts. It was very hard to find any reliable information about that. So we basically wanted to set about creating something where all that information would be gathered in one place. So this was, if you like, our mission statement. We basically wanted to create a website of script-related information which would provide a collaborative environment. Now, in terms of the script-related information, we didn't want just to have a script-themed encyclopedia with a long list of entries. We wanted the data to be well-structured and easy to navigate, and especially, as I've mentioned, easy to find the links between scripts and languages. So the idea was that the core of script source would be canonical data from the most reliable sources available so that we could create a robust framework. So in terms of languages, the canonical data source was the ISO 639-3 standard, and rather conveniently the registration authority for ISO 639-3 is SIL International, and of course the Ethnologue is one of the standard reference works. So if, for instance, we take the Abadi language of Papua New Guinea, this is the information in the ISO code table, and this is the information on the Ethnologue, and those form the basis for our entry on ScriptSource. Now I'm just going to do a little bit of a digression about the Ethnologue, because that's obviously particularly relevant for this gathering, although it's not my particular expertise. Now you can see, if you look at this, there's a link to a language map, Papua New Guinea map 16. There it is, showing where all the different 800 or so languages of PNG are located, and that's a bit of the detail when you zoom in. I'm quite envious because we don't have any maps in ScriptSource at the moment, although that's something I'm very much hoping to include. So I've been very interested in all the presentations about UNESCO maps and mapping and things. Then there's also a bibliography, which is specifically a bibliography of SIL productions, both technical ones and ethnic ones. Now another thing you have is the linguistic lineage for the language. So this tells you there are 1,257 Austronesian languages which have been broken down into numerous subclasses. Now I did speak to Paul Lewis, the main Ethnologue editor, and originally Paul had hoped to be attending this workshop, and he's sorry he couldn't be, But one point he asked me to make is that within SIL, a growing awareness of endangerment is leading us to the view that the maintenance and preservation of language and culture is the primary challenge that minority language communities face, and our engagement with communities is increasingly aimed at helping them to gain awareness and perspective on that issue and helping them to think how they need to address it in their own context. Now, I was going then to present the new eGIDS system that's being introduced, but Christopher did a much better job than I did about explaining how that works. This is the GIDS system it's based on, and I do have the graphic to show what Christopher was going through before about the different categories involved. One thing I would mention is that the Ethnologue is going to include these codes in its next edition, which is due out in the beginning of next year, and they're going to use the codes at a country level. So it means if a language is safe in one country but endangered in another, then it will have different eGIDS codes to reflect that. And Paul was at pains to emphasise that because this will be like the first draft of eGIDS codes, there are likely to be a huge number of them which people disagree with, and particularly people who have more knowledge about specific language communities. And they will very much welcome feedback so that over time they can get it more accurate and refine their values. So coming back to this chart, when it comes to characters, our main source of information, not surprisingly, is Unicode. I presume you're all familiar with Unicode. Basically, it's a consistent encoding, representation and handling of text expressed in most of the world's writing systems. So it is now the definitive guide to characters in the world's scripts. So we organise information by Unicode character blocks. And if we take Arabic, for instance, it then shows all the characters in that block with representative glyphs. And you can zoom in to get more detail on a particular character as well. Now, when we come to scripts, which is the particular focus of our website, we've based those on the ISO 15924 standard. So this is the start of the 15924 code list, sorted by English name. And on the right, you can see the start of our script source code list. We've actually got 237 scripts listed, but that does include scripts which are only used for symbolic use and that kind of thing, and scripts that are no longer in active use. So I think there are about 130, 150 scripts which are still in active use. Now, we've included various scripts, as you can see, which don't have an ISO code against them, and those are scripts which we consider to be sufficiently well documented to merit inclusion. And of course, there are new proposals going in all the time, so some of the ones we've got will probably get stamped with an ISO code and accepted into the standard in due course. We've also done a fair amount of research so that every script has some information about it in a standard format. And another thing we've done is to include a picture of the script for anyone where we're able to get an image which we're allowed to use on the site. There are some where we had nice graphics, but we couldn't get permission for them, unfortunately. And we've been able to make use of some of Tim's excellent carvings. It's a shame he isn't here to see it in all its splendour on our site, but we've got a number of Tim's script carvings as examples. So this is another script, the Beria script, which is used in Chad and Sudan. Now, Beria hasn't yet been added to the ISO 15924 standard, so where there's a script in that category but there's a Unicode proposal being written, we include a link to the proposal so people can then read all the information. The basic idea is that for any script, people can find the key information about the script quite quickly, but we've also got links so they can get a lot more in-depth information if they want it. Now, the fourth entity on this chart is writing systems. And as I said, we wanted to make it easy to find out which languages are written with which script. And that's actually information which we've maintained within our own department, the NRSI. So we used our own database as the basis for creating the links. So if, for instance, we look at the Gurmukhi script, which is an Indic script, we know that that can be used to write Punjabi, Sindhi or Sareki. And of course, again, this is evolving data, and as time goes on, we may find there are other languages out there which also use the Gurmukhi script, so we're always very open to further information so we can expand our database. And if you click on the Punjabi written with Gurmukhi link, then you get to the writing system page for that. And for writing systems where we've got the information available, we display some selected vocabulary, namely the names of the months of the year and the days of the week. And that information comes from something called the Common Locale Data Repository, CLDR for short. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I'll run out of time if I try and go into the CLDR, so you can ask me about it afterwards if you want. Another thing we have, if there is a writing system which has a locale in the CLDR, we use the inventory of characters, the exemplar lists from the CLDR, to provide links to all the individual characters. So, for instance, you can click on a character in the list, and that then takes you back to the character detail page. And one thing we really want to do is to expand this information, because there are obviously huge numbers of writing systems, and we've got a relatively small number of character inventories to include, so that's something we want to expand. If, for instance, you take the Cyrillic small letter Zha, this shows that it's written, it's used in 5 different languages, and it's also an auxiliary symbol found in 4 others. And that kind of information is particularly useful for font designers. If somebody wants to create a Cyrillic font and they're trying to think what inventory of characters, there are all sorts of ones that are used for specific language contexts. So if we had comprehensive information, that would be invaluable for people to decide what ones they want to include and what ones they can safely leave out. So that's basically the what question, what is script source. The who question is, who do we want to contribute to script source? And we always wanted it to be a collaborative environment, and we wanted to have collaboration with other organisations. Initially, we'd hoped to be able to partner with other organisations in the development of the site. And the problem we found was that while several organisations were interested, they all wanted to see something concrete first before they would commit to it. So we decided in the end the only thing was to plough our own furrow and actually get the site up and running. But now it is up and running, we're very interested in trying to find partnership with other organisations who can help. And one key area we're interested in is content contribution. If, for instance, there was a linguistics department who were doing some in-depth research into Indic scripts, then it would be fantastic if they could partner with us and put a load of information on our site so that became really comprehensive. Then I've put site development, which is because, as we've been discussing in this workshop, there are so many different things you can do with a website, different ways you can take it, different information you can include. And we'd be very interested to get feedback on what people think would be the most strategic information to add in. One idea which we're thinking about doing is to include phonetic information, because of course there are some characters in our character list that are pronounced differently in different languages, and if you could have a sort of triangulation from character to phoneme to language, that would be very interesting. And I think again that's something that's not readily available. So any ideas like that we'd be very interested in, or other information which people say, you know, your site's great, but if you could only include this, then it would be really much more useful. So that kind of thing. And the other thing I've put is promotion. Because ScriptSource is only a year old, there are a lot of people who haven't come across it yet, and our resources are limited in terms of publicity. So if any organisation wanted to publicise it, either with links from their own sites or publicise it in whatever way, then we'd very much welcome that. Now, arguably, individual contributions are more important than corporate contributions, because there are so many people out there who have done specific bits of research which we could benefit from, and so we're very much hoping to get a lot of people who are willing to just take a bit of time out to add entries to our site, which is relatively easy to do. And in terms of the kind of information we're looking for, entries, the central one, is the main thing, which is both information from technical people, like software people, on fonts and keyboards that have been designed. We're currently talking to a company called Tavoltasoft, who have over 1,000 keyboards for different writing systems around the world, and we're hoping to get links to all of those built onto the site. And also, we're obviously interested in font information, because that's one thing that people always come to us for. They're saying, is there a font that can be used for this language? So we need technicians. We're also interested in academics who are doing research into particular areas, and linguists who can give technical information about the grammatical constructs of a language, or perhaps anything specific about characters. So if you go on at the moment, you'll find that for languages, we don't have a lot of information. We've got links to the ethnologue, which people can use, but we don't have a lot of specific entries. But I would be delighted to see more of those. So if there's some language that you have particular information about and you'd like to do some entries for us, and that would be fantastic. Then as well as entries, there's sources, which is basically links to books or websites which are relevant. And also we've got a needs section. Part of the philosophy behind ScriptSource is that in our department we get people often contacting us saying, can you help us sort out this issue, like create a font or advise us on getting this into Unicode? And we're a relatively small department and there are a lot of needs. So what we want to get is to a situation where linguists, people out in the field, people who know of technical issues, will actually post a need on our site to say, I'm working with this language and I don't have a font, can anybody help me? And sometimes with our department, font designers will email us and say, hey, I'm a font designer, I think what you guys do is great, can I help you out at all? And if we've got this system up and running, then we can say, just log on to ScriptSource, look through the needs, see if there's anything there, and if so, get in touch. So we're very much hoping that's something that will develop as time goes on. So this sort of puts the two halves of the jigsaw together, as it were. So we've got all of our core data down the left, which we've created to give a very good structure. We've got all our community contributions on the right, and there's a web of grey lines in the middle, which is the associations. Basically, if anybody writes an entry, it can be associated with any number of script characters or languages. And we've also got something called topics, so the various topics that you can also do associations with. So the idea is that if somebody writes something, it will then show up in all the relevant places and be easy to for others to get hold of. A couple of final things I was going to mention. We've just started doing some blogs. So if you're interested in blogs, we've got a ScriptSource blog and also a writing system blog and a font blog. And we've got RSS feeds for those, so you can subscribe to them if that's what you want to do. We are hoping to roll out RSS feeds across the rest of the site so that you'll be able to subscribe to a particular script or language group or whatever. But that's something we're just starting to get into. So hopefully by the end of the summer there'll be RSS feeds all over the place. And one final thing to mention, we've got a comment mechanism which is basically very quick and easy. So if you read something on the site and either you think, well, that's not right, you can just add a comment and correct it. Or if you think, well, that's good, but I could actually add a bit of information, then again, you can just very easily just add a comment. If you have a relevant graphic, you can attach that and then just click on the post button. You can only do that if you register, but registration only takes about 5 minutes. It's a very straightforward process. So that's, again, something we've done to try and make the site a bit more interactive. So I hope, if you haven't visited the site already, I hope you will. There's the address at the bottom. And thanks very much.